continue to go forth in your house of healing, in your house of prayer. And may this ultimately work out to glorify you, that it'll point us to Jesus. Amen. Dangerous Delays, Joseph, Part 11. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? This could be the universal temptation of procrastination. This is where it all starts for a lot of people, is getting up, getting going. How many of you have ever struggled with that delay, if you will? I should get up. Just a few of you, huh? Wow. I think at some point we all want to just stay in the spirit of the mattress, just kind of begins to possess us. And that extra 10 minutes, you know what happens? Well, I'm just going to lie down for an extra 10 minutes. And then you look back up, and time has kind of, it's been like a time warp. And how did that just go to 1 or 2 hours? Oh, no. And have you ever had an experience like that where that early misstep or mistake, it seems to have a domino effect? So let's say, for instance, just hypothetically, you or I, we stayed up late. We delayed going to bed at the right time. And perhaps we were watching TV, as can often tempt us. Oh, I got to see that next episode. And of course, nowadays with streaming, it's so convenient. You just go to the next one, and it's created a whole new phenomenon, a whole new binge phenomenon, where I was talking to somebody, and they told me that they watched all 9 episodes of this new season in one day. It's like, what? And I guess that's not uncommon. And so let's say something like that arises, and I say, oh, I'm going to stay up an hour later. I can handle it. You know, I want to make nighttime Ron happy. And this, you know, what happens with morning Ron? That's morning Ron's problem. Nighttime Ron must be made happy, must be blessed. And so what happens then is you wake up late, or you're not refreshed like you should be. So you don't have that edge, that alertness. And then you get up, and let's say you start rushing. And because you're still a bit foggy, you spill something. You got to clean that up. You're getting aggravated. Then you got to get to work on time. And instead of driving leisurely as you could have, you drive fast. Let's say then you get a ticket. Then there goes points on your insurance. Domino effect, like snowball effect. One little delay. And so you get to work late, and then there's aggravation. Perhaps there's a confrontation over that. You're stressed through the day. You don't perform. You don't get done the things you would have. Because of that, things stack up. And then you're aggravated, you're stressed. You forget after work to do something that your spouse had asked you to do, to pick up something from the grocery store, or worse yet, pick up a kid from somewhere. And then you get home and you have a fight. There are already things mounting up, and then that's like the last straw. And a fight erupts, and another late night because of that. And then et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Have you had experiences like that? Have you had seasons where one crash upon another and it just kind of escalates and it does the whole exponential, a doubling effect? And a lot of people live, that's basically their mode. That's their lifestyle. They live with doubling down decay or destruction, because they fail to do up front. They fail to do something early or when it's proper, and they say, oh, that's morning fill in the name. That's morning Ron's problem. Or, you know, that's 50-year-old Ron's problem. 25-year-old Ron, I'm not going to save money. I'm going to spend it while I can, and I'm going to go into all this debt, and I'm going to, you know, just live for now. And who cares about 50-year-old Ron? That's his problem. Of course, if 50-year-old Ron could talk to, back when I was 25, 25-year-old Ron, he might have something to say about some of those things that I was delaying. Wouldn't you agree? And so the question again, and actually this passage is found twice in Proverbs, which is a clue, is how long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? Here's our lesson. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Now, the obvious and universal example that's relevant is sleep, but this could be in areas of finances, areas of health, most importantly, areas in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we think in terms of big, that I don't want to create a big mistake or do something that's huge that will cost me. But the writer three times says it just takes a little bit. Just do that little by little over time. Just delay, neglect, a little sin here, a little sin there. What does it hurt? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and huge consequences. So with the little repeated three times, it's a clue, and it speaks of accumulated small delays that add up over time. And it suggests that eventually there is the proverbial straw that breaks a camel's back. You ever think about that? Have that visual in your mind? How could a straw break a camel? Who's heard that proverb, by the way? Okay. Well, when there's enough straws laid over time, it just takes that one final one, and suddenly the thing goes down. And it's like that whole little upon little, the series, the sequencing, the snowball effect. And all of a sudden, the consequences are huge. Developing a habit of delay. We're all going to delay from time to time. But when we allow, because of various reasons that we'll cover, a habit of delay, I'm going to put the right thing off. I'm going to do what's right in my own eyes, what's pleasing to me, what's satisfying to me now. And I'm going to put the right thing off. When we develop that habit of delay, it destines one for destructive consequences. And so we look at the example that gave rise to this message about a month ago, considering Joseph and the season where his brothers had come back to their father. And we see in Genesis 43, verses 8 through 11, the there and back again times two, a procrastinator's tale. Genesis 43, verses 8 through 11, and Judah said to Israel his father, send the boy with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you, and also our little ones. I will be a pledge of his safety. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back, that is Benjamin. I did a whole message on this last week titled The Release, and so it might be worth listening to. If I do not bring Benjamin back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. And then here is the cool, cutting, challenging line. Here's the reproof that he gives to his own father. If we had not delayed, we would have returned twice. So we could have made that difficult trip once, there and back, twice, there and back. And so now we've delayed in terms of months, practically speaking. Verse 11. Then his father Israel said to him, if it must be so. And last week, of course, we saw that he released Benjamin, and it turned out for the good. But here, in this point of confrontation and anxiety, and there's tension in the household, I mean, when you don't have food, that is the ultimate worst case scenario. That will bring a lot of tension. And because of this delay, the food stores, which are rapidly decreasing, are much lower. And so tensions are much higher, anxiety, aggravation. You got the 10 sons, you got their wives, and you know that they're not bearing of this alone. They got their little ones and the wives. Mothers are very protective, and they're all, you know, Judah, you better go over there and talk to your father. And you got all this family tension that's going on, and it's escalating. The longer they don't deal with this issue, the worse things are getting. And how often is this the case in our lives? Here's a question. How many things get backed up and stacked up in our lives because we procrastinate? Now, I know there are some that are professional procrastinators, and husband and wife, just keep looking forward today. It would be a good time just to look forward. There are those that tend towards that, but all of us can delay and procrastinate things. Now, here's some just practical examples. Going to the doctor for a checkup. Now, who's excited and avidly desires to go see the doctor once a year? How many put it off for months and for years? And then, of course, the news comes that, oh, if we had detected this sooner. Isn't that like the worst thing to hear from a doctor, by the way? You know, not only does it suggest a problem with you in terms of your medical condition, but then you've got the anger or aggravation with yourself that, man, I should have just gone to the doctor when I started feeling that strange thing or that pain or whatever. How many procrastinate paying their bills? And so the bills start to stack up. Then you got late fees, so now you're starting to stack things, and then your credit score eventually gets affected, and then that affects a loan down the line. Yeah, these are delays which are hurtful. Answering emails. How many have emails that just keep going and going? You do well just to answer some of those. How about this in terms of health? How many delay cutting out junk food? And, oh, I'm going to start that next month. Oh, we're going on vacation, and I can't start it now. I'm going to start that after the vacation. And then after the vacation, you're stressed because, you know, after a vacation, you've got to, you know, get things back in order. And I'm too stressed to not eat all this or drink all this, but I'll get to that point. And then, of course, oh, Thanksgiving and Christmas are coming. I'll do it after. You just keep delaying. And so that all that junk food, it just getting worse and worse. And I mean, we live in a day and age where sugar, diabetes is epidemic. And most of it is behavioral. Most of it is because people have delayed minimizing the junk food that eventually brings them to that point. Are you glad to be here, by the way, today? I just wanted to, well, I'm thinking about that. Well, I'll know in a few minutes. How about this one? And everybody must keep looking forward, by the way. Leaving for work or school or church on time. There are those that are chronically late. They delay things. They dilly-dally. They get easily diverted and distracted, and then they got to go into rush mode. They got to go into urgency mode, and their urgency becomes everybody else's emergency, and it brings a lot of tension. Who has ever delayed cleaning up the house? You know, just a thought and a revelation, the house will not clean itself up. Or getting rid of junk. You know, if you don't get rid of junk, it starts to stack up. It starts to back up. Did you know that anywhere you have an opening or a vacuum in a house, junk tends to find its place? Getting car maintenance done. How about this? Apologizing to someone after you've hurt them. That's a dangerous delay when you don't apologize. Telling someone you love them. How many people have regrets that they failed to tell someone that they love them and they delayed that for whatever reason? Creating something artistic. Maybe God has given you an artistic bent. And he wants you to work artistically, to paint, to write poetry, to write music. And you say, oh, you know, I'm just going to, you did lay in that. And God wants you to create. He's put in our hearts a creative capability, being made in his image. Doing laundry, that could never happen, could it? And the pile just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Or cleaning dishes. This is a classic one. Cleaning the dishes. When you fail to rinse the dish off, then sometimes things harden. Here's a great example of things just getting backed up and stacked up and taking longer than they should have. And so when you fail to at least rinse the dish with the ketchup or the mustard or the nacho cheese, and you just leave it there, and you have, I guess you could spiritualize, well, I have faith that things will take care of themselves. Then what happens, in case you don't know, is there's a hardening process. And then it takes like 5 to 10 times longer. Can anybody bear witness, by the way? It takes 5 to 10 minutes longer to clean the thing. And more water, higher water bill, you know, backing up, stacking up, all these things. A more important one than dishes, spending more time with your kids. Be careful about that. Don't delay that. You only have those kids for a short season. Life's a vapor itself, and your time with your kids is a mini, mini vapor. And don't neglect to spend time, to take the time. If it's at the end of a long day, at least praying with them, reading a scripture, and blessing them. Never neglect spending time with your kids. Or quitting smoking or some unhealthy habit. The longer you delay it, the worse it gets. And so, again, the question, how many things get backed up and stacked up in our lives because of procrastination? Procrastinating sets up a potential multiplier effect or a snowball scenario where the small becomes large, where the delays produce troubles, magnitudes of order beyond what they originally were. Now, three quick examples of magnitudinal enlargement. Something that was small and could have been dealt with. Now it's 100-fold worse because I didn't deal with. Checking your oil. Did you know that every so often you have to pull this thing out called a dipstick? And you have to look at the level of your oil. And I get on my kids about it because dealing with oil issues, you know, filling up a little oil or changing it, is much better than a burnt up engine, which will happen on your way to Columbia, not in Mexico, Missouri. That's the way it works, doesn't it? You know, plumbing only goes bad on a Friday night through a Sunday night, right? So if I had dealt with my oil, basic car maintenance, then it would not have brought me to a point of now I'm out of vehicle. Or how about, this has got to be the most happy, exciting message ever, right? What about dentistry? If I had just brushed and flossed along the way, then it would have reduced significantly my potential for cavities. So having cavities is a magnitude of order beyond, in terms of pain, in terms of time, in terms of money. It's a magnitude of order in terms of work and all the stress and labor beyond just simple 2 minutes or so brushing and flossing. And then if you let those cavities go, then what happens is you set up a situation where you might need a root canal and or a crown. If a cavity costs $200 and all the pain and all the stress, and some are dread dentists to begin with, a crown is like $1,500 to $2,000. And so it's magnitudes of order, right? It's not just, well, it's $200 for a cavity plus $200 linear for a crown. It goes like this. And if you don't have that dealt with, then you could lose your what? Tooth or teeth. It just keeps going up. You say, Pastor, these are all so practical and just natural. Give us something more spiritual. Okay, I will oblige you. Jesus said it like this. He said, when you are on the journey with your adversary, and we're always dealing with an adversary. Sometimes the adversary is the self. Sometimes the adversary is the spouse or whatever, a situation that you're just putting off. You're putting off. I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to put it off. Jesus said, when you're on the way, we're all on a journey. When you're on the journey of your adversary, he said, multiple choice, A, make peace with your adversary as soon as possible, or B, just continue to delay it. It'll work itself out. Don't worry about it. Which one do you think is the right answer? A, work it out quickly, because if you don't, he said, then what happens is you get handed over to an officer hands you over to a judge, and a judge will then put you in a debtor's prison, and you won't get out of that situation till you've paid the last bit. And so it's better to work out something sooner. That's why the Bible tells us to not let the sun go down on our anger. And so when you have something against somebody, legitimate, totally true, or even something that you're a bit foggy about, and you're wrestling, work it out sooner than later. It will spare you from bondage. It'll spare you from an emotional prison. It'll spare you from stress, high blood pressure, and ulcers, and the multiplier effect, and the tension it brings to myself and other people. Now, what are, as we move into close now, what are some motivators of procrastination? Well, surely for Jacob, it was fear. That's what was keeping him from doing what he needed to do. And in these Proverbs, we have the coupling of laziness and fear. Proverbs 26, verse 13, the lazy person claims there is a lion on the road. Yes, I'm sure there's a lion out there. And so they have their excuse. They are ready. There's some unknown fear. Now, to be sure, lions were a reality in their day, but they were few and far between. They were rare. It wasn't like, you know, dogs being out there every day. Oh, there's a dog, there's a dog. Oh, there's a lion too. That was a rare thing because they would have hunted the thing down, and lions were out in the wilderness. But a lazy person, I'm not going to do what I need to do today because there's some lion-like condition. And of course, we know that the enemy of your soul is like a roaring lion. He will always discourage you. He will always frustrate you. Don't you dare walk across the street and hand your neighbor a Bible. Don't you dare presume to pray for that person. And the roaring, there's a lion there. The lion is, they'll reject me. The lion is that I'll be ashamed. I'll be embarrassed. And so we procrastinate to do what's right. I'm not going to call my son or daughter or my grandchild and give them a word of wisdom or a word of reproof because there's a lion there and it makes me nervous. Well, as you may know, if you've read Pilgrim's Progress, eventually, Pilgrim himself had to face some lions, and he could not go through that gate until he overcame his fear of a lion-like situation, and he said, you know what? Do or die, I'm going through, and he came to find out that those lions were chained. They couldn't get to him, but on the face of it, the lazy person, the sluggard, the person who has developed a habit to let their fears rule over them, just says, it's lion-like. I'm not going to try for that new job. I'm not going to try for that promotion. I'm not going to try to mend a broken relationship. I'm not going to save money or do what's right. It's just too lion-like. And they always have that fallback. Proverbs 26:16, lazy people consider themselves smarter than seven wise counselors. Now, here's an interesting prospect. We have a bit of a paradox here. Lazy people, in some respects, are actually very hard workers. They're actually industrious. Their initiative, you know where I'm going already, their initiative and their industry is that they know how to make excuses. They are very good at excusing themselves and justifying their situation. And so we have these seven wise counselors. any seven people with sense would say, hey, you need to do this, that, or the other thing. You need to make this right. You need to go see the doctor. You need to forgive. But a person that's lazy, that's too hard on my flesh. I'd rather relax in this delayed, procrastinating way of life that I've developed. They always have an answer, so they're smarter in their own eyes. They always outwit, and they actually, you know, they surprise the counselors at times. Now, as a pastor, I'm a counselor from time to time, and I've been amazed. And I think to myself at times, you know, if you would only apply the mental energy that you have towards excusing yourself, justifying yourself, blaming everybody else, if you'd only take that mental energy and apply it towards productive ends, you would be so on top of things. You would be amazing. It is a strange thing. And I'm not saying I'm never lazy or fearful myself, but I've been able to observe it enough in life as well. Now, here's another reason, some reasons, laziness, fear, another reason why people procrastinate and set up a situation where it becomes a dangerous delay. Busyness with vanities. Ah, this is such a killer. Luke 14, 17 through 20. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready. But they all alike began to make, what does it say there? Excuses. Now, these excuses are actually not too bad. The first said to him, I've bought a field, and I must go out and see it. So please have me excused. So this is an industrious one. At this time, if you own real estate, you were the wealthy class. You were the 1%. And so, okay, he's done well for himself at this level. He can buy a field. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine. So these aren't sluggards, lazy in a practical sense. I must continue business, and I'm growing, I'm expanding, and now I've purchased this new piece of equipment, and this new piece of equipment is more important than my prayer time or Sunday service or whatever. So I bought these 5 yoke of oxen. I need to go examine them. Please have me excuse. And another said, well, I've married a wife. Now, what a wonderful thing, marriage. That's the second most important thing in life, the first being, of course, your connection with God. I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so these all were people of substance, actually, but they failed to miss what was most important in life. They were seeking the things of the world, and they were doing well in a material sense. And so these were people that were responsible. They were actually saving money. They were industrious. They were prioritizing their marriage. However, the master of the feast is a picture of God Almighty. And only God can truly satisfy the human soul. Everything in this world is falling apart, no matter how good it is. Even marriage is till death. You're reminded at the ceremony. This thing's going to end. It is ultimately a vanity. It's important, but it's not eternal. And so all of us can basically miss out on the most important for lesser valuable things. These weren't prodigals. These weren't fleshly, you know, people that were filled with pleasures. These are people that Jesus talked about, that the seed goes in the ground, but because they're busy with the things of this life, the thorns come up and it chokes them. It suffocates them. So they don't have the wherewithal to do the most important thing because they're so overcome with lesser things. Things that they could say, it's important that my child goes to college. It's important that we prepare for our retirement. It's important that I exercise so that I have health. I can't argue with any of those things on one level. However, if any busyness or temporary activity takes one away from God, then what happens is it delays things. It sets up a dangerous situation. Now, in Matthew's version of this same parable, it is a sad picture of what the kingdom of God is like. Matthew says the kingdom of heaven is like this. A king made a feast for his son and invited all. This is the kingdom of God. And yet, even within God's kingdom, and now I'm talking to the church, talking to the people of God, even in God's kingdom, there are so many that are skilled at excusing themselves from doing what is of ultimate importance, feasting on Jesus Christ, eating and drinking of Jesus, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Their relationship is so shallow. They don't spend 5 minutes with the Lord. I'm not saying to spend hours, but 5 minutes with the Lord through the day, and yet they will give that television 2 hours. They'll give YouTube or Facebook. Definitely, I can spare a half hour here. But I can't come to the table. You've prepared a table for me. It's a table of true delights, but I am so busy with other things that I will delay that. Then you delay another day. Then you delay a week. You delay months. And what happens at the end is, spiritually speaking, poverty comes upon you like a robber, and you're deprived like an armed man. Now you're filled with regret. If only we had done what the Lord told us to, little by little. God has prepared everything we need that actually matters. He has food for us that will give us abundant life. In his presence is fullness of joy. With the Lord, we get overcoming stamina. With the Lord, we get clarity. We get revelation. We can see through all the high imaginations and the foolishness, errors, lies that bubble up from our heart, lies that come from Satan, lies that are embedded in the world which would control us. We come to God's house. And that's not just this gathering. That's your prayer closet. That's your ride to work where you turn this off so then you can hear him. This is coming to the Lord and say, Lord, you're first. And when one does so, they are so blessed because of it. Let's move into the close. In closing, let me quickly make a distinction between procrastinating and healthy waiting. So am I procrastinating or am I waiting? Now, let me put it this way. When we're hearing from God today to not procrastinate, to not delay, this does not suggest that we become rash, we become impulsive. Now I'm just going to do things quick and not think about them. There is such a thing as healthy waiting. And we'll look at it at this point from the fruit point of view. You shall know them by their fruit. Is this procrastinating or is this waiting? Well, here's the fruit that comes of waiting. Not only that, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. There is such a thing as healthy patience, healthy waiting. I'm going to delay this thing. And it turns out to build up character in our lives. It stirs up lively hope. Or many people's favorite verse, Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The fruit of waiting produces life, but there is also fruit of procrastinating. We can determine between the two. Am I properly waiting, or is this an instance of procrastinating? Proverbs 5:11 through 14 reflects the regret of a procrastinator. At the end of your life, you groan, when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I'm at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. To come to the end of one's life and to say, woe is me. If only I had listened to that pastor on that day. If only I had listened to what my doctor told me, what my parents told me. If only I had just taken that and said, you know what? Instead of just throwing it to the side and saying, hey, today's Ron is way more important than 60-year-old Ron. and who cares about him? He can deal with it. Well, he's going to deal with it, and he's coming. You guys are connected. Not you and me, but I'm connected to him. You're connected to your 60, 70, 80, 90-year-old self, should the Lord tarry. And to come to the end of it with the horror, the absolute horror, if I had just stopped drinking Pepsi, 3 Pepsis a day like I'm used to, because it feels so good, now I wouldn't be here with my diabetic condition. Now I wouldn't be here, you know, having to go to dialysis for 3 times a week. If I had just done what was right earlier, if I just got to bed earlier, if I just made right with that person sooner than later, I could have spared myself. I wonder if Jacob, after the whole situation, now we know it turned out for the good, and that's the grace of God, just like with us. We're not hopeless if we've messed up. But I wonder if Jacob thought, you know, we should have done this a lot sooner. Why? If I'd only known that taking this step of faith, releasing Benjamin, you know, going when the food stores were half empty instead of down to 10%, if we had just gone sooner. Have you ever asked yourself that? If I had just done this sooner, why did I delay? How foolish was I at that point? And so the Holy Spirit, now I'm talking about the back end. We can tell if it's procrastinating or waiting by the fruit. But here's the front end of it. The Holy Spirit will help us up front when something needs to be considered. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit say to me? Will the Holy Spirit say, oh, you need to delay in your forgiveness because that person needs to get their act together? No, the Holy Spirit will say, you need to forgive just as you have been forgiven. Will the Holy Spirit say, oh, just hold that back because you need reserves and they need to work it out themselves? Or will the Holy Spirit say to you, the one who gives to the poor, that one lends to the Lord, and God will surely pay that one back? Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Open your heart. God, I'm confronted with something here. Part of me wants to procrastinate, just put it off. But Lord, what do you want for me to do? He may actually say, you know, you need to wait a little bit. Don't rush into that situation. Or he might say, no, you need to go make things right. And finally, friends, never procrastinate or wait regarding the salvation of your soul. This is of utmost importance. Since we're not guaranteed our next breath, as pridefully confident as we are, since we're not guaranteed a tomorrow, today is the day to be saved. For he says, in a favorable time I've listened to you, in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. See, I don't know where you're at today. You and I may have been familiar with each other for years now, seemingly on the same journey, but only the Lord knows those who are his. And I do know Jesus talked about the wheat and the tares in the kingdom of God. There's counterfeits. Well, friend, if you're not right with God, if you've not believed in Jesus Christ, young or old, long time in the church, short time, wherever you're at, this is the time to make right with God. This is the time to believe on Jesus Christ, to commit your life to him. Don't wait till you get your act together. Don't delay. Today is a day. You have none of us have a guarantee of a tomorrow. And so we're going to ask for the Lord's help. Let's stand together. The Spirit's speaking to us in many ways today. The Spirit says, how long will you lie there, O sluggard? When are you going to wake up? God's calling us to respond to him today and not delay. If we could close our eyes for a moment. If you have not yet believed in Jesus Christ, you are not to wait, certainly not to procrastinate. Believe on Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. No one looking around, just between you and I, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you today. I will remember you in prayer. God loves you. Yes, ma'am. God loves you. God so loves you that he gave his son. All of us have so much sin, so much shame. All of us are far from what God desires. So he sent Jesus Christ to bridge the gap. Anybody else believe on Jesus Christ? Yes, I see your hand. He loves you. Father, I just pray today for these that have raised their hand. You know where they're at. May they believe on you truly. Holy Spirit, transform them. Let them be a new creation, the old passing away. Let them confess with their mouth Jesus the Lord and believe in their heart the resurrected Christ. May they, Lord, receive this day the adoption through Jesus, being daughters of the King. Thank you, Lord. If you feel today like you just need the Spirit's help, I need the Holy Spirit to help me. Left to myself, I am a sluggard. I tend to the flesh, and I don't want to take the narrow path. I don't want to do the hard thing. The hard thing which will actually help me in the long run. And so, Holy Spirit, please help me. Come on down, and you can pray for me. I'll pray for you. Let there be less of these dangerous delays in our life. Father, I just set my mind in agreement with my brothers and sisters today that the proverb will be wisdom to us, that it will not come back to haunt us. Lord, for the most part, we'll all have regrets. We all stumble and do foolish things. But for the most part in our lives, may we not lie there like a sluggard. May we arise from sleep. And may not poverty in any way come upon us like an assaulting robber, and want, deprivation, and lack come upon us like an armed man. Help us, Lord, to today aggressively do what we should do. Help us to count the cost so that later on we won't be aggressively assaulted with our procrastination, with our laziness, our fear, or even busyness. We commit ourselves to you. Lord, we're so incomplete. We're so immature that we have a hard time even discerning. And so we beg you for the Holy Spirit to be the still small voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. This is what you need to do. And Lord, help us to heed the voice of the Holy Spirit, not harden our hearts. We commit ourselves to you. We thank you so much for your generous reminders, your various words throughout today's gathering that have brought us life. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings upon you.
Can we have all the parents stay before they go pick up their children for the meeting? The teachers are going to hold on to them a little bit.